Hi, I'm Paul Davis, president of AVWE, and I'm talking here with Derek Parker, lead pastor of Starkey Road Church in Seminole, Florida, and partner with AVWE for many years, sending and supporting missionaries across the globe together. Derek has become a friend, and he's an exceptional leader. One of the things I appreciate about you, Derek, is not only just your leadership ability, but the humility that you bring to the leadership task. And just a couple questions on leadership.
Sure.
Let's start at the very beginning. How do we develop young leaders? What are some of the things that you're doing as a church or as an individual to develop the next generation of leaders?
I think part of the thing that we've done, especially recently, is focused on an internship program. And so we have young interns that come in, whether they're currently in college or maybe just as graduated. Either way, we try to bring them on, give them ministry experience. Maybe it's somebody on our staff that's younger in ministry or not as many years into it. I try to spend a lot of time with them, just having conversations about the mundane to specific things about how they're going to interact with some of their leaders or how they're going to interact with their volunteers. And so we just try to bring them along gently, but with some intentionality.
Let's say you find a young man or young woman that's wanting to pursue ministry, leadership, or in some form, and you don't see any abilities in their life, or you don't see, you know, they're really rough leadership-wise. What do you do then? Like, if this person's going to become a leader, it's going to take a lot.
Well, in some ways, all right, yeah, so that happens. And sometimes we just try to not throw them into the deep end, but hey, let's get you into a ministry role where they can have some, maybe some easy wins, but also have some places where they don't quite have some wins, maybe some even fails. And that reveals to them maybe some places that they need to grow in. It reveals to us some places that we need to help them in. And so a lot of ways it's just having them engage. And then from there, kind of responding to that.
Kind of fail forward type opportunity. What are some of the traits or qualities you're looking for? Let's talk specifically about young men training for pastoral ministry, missionary leadership. What are some qualities and traits you're looking for in a young man to develop or to mentor? Or will you take anybody just rough?
Probably not. We probably wouldn't take just anybody, but I would say we're looking for somebody that's teachable, first of all. They need to have some type of teachable spirit about them. Mm-hmm. Somebody that comes in with this mentality of, I've got this figured out. I know everything that I need to know. That concerns me.
Right.
You know, I'm probably going to be a little hesitant about that. Humility is huge. Again, I'm not looking for somebody that comes in with a mentality or an arrogance about them, something that says I deserve to be here or I'm entitled to this. Again, I struggle with that type of, maybe there's a place for them somewhere, but for us and where we're at, I need somebody teachable, need somebody humble, and then somebody that's going to be willing to serve and probably, you know, not get the glory. You know, you're not going to get the glory right off the top.
Right.
Or if you're there for that, that's not happening.
One of the things I've appreciated about Starkey Road and the relationship AVWE's had with Starkey Road is you've taken on many missionaries, AVWE missionaries, and you're supporting them and encouraging them and sending them. When you guys choose a missionary to support and get on board with, when you choose them, you do it well. What are some of the things you're looking for? Are they different than what you're looking for in a young man to develop him? What are some of the things you're looking for in a missionary couple or individual?
But yeah, by the time we get a missionary that's coming in that we're considering supporting, I'm hoping that they've been developed somewhere along the way.
Sure.
Have some type of leadership capabilities. But somebody that can really just communicate their passion for why they're doing what they're doing and then explain to us as a church, me as a pastor, our missions committee, this is why I want to be there. This is the heart that I have for the people. It isn't necessarily the field that they're going to, but it's the heart behind what they're doing. And somebody that can come in and communicate that and that just ooze off of them, that's somebody we're really attracted to as a missionary.
And we talked beforehand, and one of the things you communicated to me is that the what isn't as important to you as the why and the outcomes.
Yes.
Talk about that.
I think a lot of times, you know, pastors, missionaries, we all talk about what we're doing. But the thing is, why are you doing it? You know, if you can communicate the why to me, that means that God's done something in your life somewhere along the way that you just have this in you that you need to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the why I hope that we hear. The what, you know, the what's different in a lot of fields, and that's just a method or a strategy to get to the why. And so that's not as important to us.
Talk about, you know, again, when you talk about partnering with missionaries, one of the things you shared with me was that being able to communicate the outcomes or what you're looking for at the end, or we often talk about fruit, right? What are you looking for in that in a missionary?
I think something that's realistic, first of all. We understand and we would never expect that somebody coming in as a missionary is going to tell us, you know, hey, we're going to plant 10 churches in the next year and see 1,000 people come to Christ.
Right.
Right. Like that's, it may not be great fruit, but
right.
Let's be realistic too.
Right.
And also it doesn't mean, you know, if in 3 years you haven't seen a convert or somebody baptized, that doesn't mean that you failed. But again, have an idea of where you're going and what that's going to look like. And tell us, man, I'm going to struggle for the first couple of years probably to get people to buy into this because of the area that we're in. But we're hoping in the next year that we're going to have a Bible study with 5 people in it.
Mm.
You know, that's great. You know, I can totally support that,
right,
depending on where you're going. But again, I love it for it to be somewhat realistic, but leave room for God.
Right.
But let's not be out there.
Right. So you've been leading Starkey Road now for how long?
I've been at the church for a little over 8 years. I've been the lead pastor for 4.
What are some of the leadership lessons that you've learned or are learning that, if we've got a future missionary, future pastor, or a current missionary, current pastor watching this, some things maybe God has done in your heart that he's molding and shaping you in that you'd say, learn this from me. Maybe you don't have to go through it, but just advice.
So I think one of the things I've tried to explain to our interns, especially pastoral interns, and I haven't had a lot of missionary interns, but pastoral interns, is people want to be a pastor because they think about preaching and they think about, I love teaching and preaching the word. And I've tried to explain to every one of them that if you work a 60-hour week, you might be lucky if between preaching a message and preparing for a message, you get 6 to 10 hours. Mm-hmm. The other 50 hours is working with people and working with vision and working with maybe the messes and counseling that any church is going to have. And so understanding again what you're wanting or what you think it's going to be. I think for me, one of the lessons that I've learned is to start my circle smaller and then work out. I have a mentality to think bigger, but I have people that are directly under me that need my compassion, need my love, support. And I've really learned as a leader to kind of shift my focus to them first and then go outward. I can't lose the people that are closest to me along the way.
Put handles on that for me a little bit. Like dive into that specifically. How, because you shared that with me earlier and it actually resonated and convicted me a little bit. How are you doing that intentionally? Like you said, tighten the circle.
Right.
Talk me through that real practically.
Somebody, I don't remember where it was or where I read it. I've reformatted it over the years to how I understand it is never sacrifice what only you can do what anybody can do.
Mm.
Right. And so when I say bring my circle tighter, I'm the only person that can be a husband to my wife. I'm the only person that can be a dad to my kids. And so I have to make sure that I'm taking care of that circle first. Mm. And then I have a staff and people under my own, you know, ministry roof, so to speak, that I have a responsibility to make sure that their relationships are healthy, that they're spiritually fed, and I'm the one that's responsible for that to them. Mm. And then from there, it goes out, you know, to the wider congregation. But if I lose my family, obviously I lose my ministry.
Right.
If I lose the people under me, then I'm doing ministry by myself, which isn't sustainable. And so however big my picture is, I have to start it smaller and work from there.
Mm. As you shepherd young people and do internships, how can we practically do that? You know, when you're starting off in leadership, starting off in ministry, you tend to be given roles that you can learn and fail. What are some practical ways that we can begin implementing some of this early on?
I think finding, we have an intern right now that he loves music. He loves hands-on things. And so we've kind of given him a niche there, but then we've expanded his roles. We've put him in places that he's not comfortable. For exposure even, or to, again, reveal some areas where he needs to grow. I think whenever you can take a young guy or a young girl and find what they're passionate about and give them that, but then add some things on the outskirts of it or to start moving them into some other areas, I think that's so helpful, whether it's from an IT perspective. Again, we think in church, we think teaching and preaching, but there's so many ministries that go on in a church that need people that are passionate about them. So whether it's IT, videos, teaching, children's ministry, graphics, you know, all those things are places where young people can find a handle. And helping them find that, I think, is valuable for them, whether it's in the church or whether they just use it to serve in the church later.
Let me move to a little more practical side of things. You have to prepare multiple messages a week. I'm sure you're studying the Word of God, you're applying it to people's lives. Talk with me about how you do the pastoral. Your church has needs. You're exegeting your people, right? Figuring out the needs that they have, and you're exegeting the scriptures. Talk me through your process. I know you recently have done a study all the way through the Bible, kind of the meta-narrative of the Bible, and you've gone through the Old Testament, and you're going through the New Testament. How are you choosing passages? And what truths to bring? I'm interested to know how you're balancing both of those exegetes.
That's a good question. I think for me, it's been when I read a passage, like choosing a passage is a little bit difficult. And so I'll read a little bit and think, okay, there's meat here. Or there's something we can hold on to. And the thing that I'm looking for most of the time is tension, or it's that thing that, okay, you know, this is what Paul was going through, and we read over it, but if you just stop and maybe read a little bit deeper, you go, and there's tension here, and this tension is important for us to start peeling back. And so I guess I'm always looking for the tension in Scripture, that part that says, this is what happened, this is how we learn from it, and how does this apply in 21st century Tampa Bay, right? And so I tell people all the time, I don't know that my messages would travel far, because I craft them really with the people and the church in mind that I'm at. And to take it somewhere else, I don't know them. I don't know them like I know my people. And I don't know the tensions that they're experiencing. And so it's hard for me to just give something.
Right. You do quite a bit of counseling with folks and that are within your church and even outside of your church. Does that tension play into your counseling? Are you looking for tension in counseling and bringing it where you find tension in Scripture?
That's a good way to put it. I think the tension that we find in the counseling, again, why this is the behavior or this is the thing, but what's behind that? What's the heart? Where is it coming from? And if we can open that up, if we can reveal that in some way, I think we can really get down into some deep and important areas of our life. And counseling does that, and it does it, and it spills over into the church.
A young person looking at ministry leadership, we've talked about counseling and scripture and mentoring and things like that. How does a pastor do it all? Like, how does a missionary leader, there's a lot there. There's, you know, you talked about the majority of the time working with people. Talk about work-life balance. Talk about, you know, how you're maintaining your own soul through the different tensions that you're dealing with.
So a number of years ago, the Lord did something in my life that I'll never forget. I was in kind of a dark time in my life. I was not in ministry for about a 24-month period. We were healing from a previous one. And I really struggled with, I just have a job. And what am I supposed to be doing? You know, I'm not in ministry for the first time in 15 years, and it was hard. But I remember the Lord just kind of working me through this process to identify what He had uniquely gifted me to do. And there's a longer story to that, but I came out with every place that I felt like there was success or people affirmed success were leading, teaching, and counseling. And so I identified those are the things that God's uniquely gifted me to do. When I identified that, the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, okay, you can do that wherever you are. Whether you're in ministry or out, you can lead, teach, and counsel. And so I brought that into Starkey Road. I brought that into my pastoral ministry that I'm here uniquely to lead, teach, and counsel. And other things that need to happen in the church, I need to find people who are uniquely gifted to do those things. So I don't need to do that. I don't need to oversee certain aspects of the ministry because that's not what I've been gifted to do. So find somebody to do that. And so that's kind of how I've approached ministry, the understanding of doing it all, but doing what I can do. And then with the work and the and home life, that's probably the hardest place to be. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've done it extremely well. I don't know that I failed at it, but I don't think I've done it extremely well. Mm-hmm. And it's an ongoing process that we address and deal with. I try to take windows of time off. You know, I can't get 4 weeks, but I can take 3 days and spend some time with my wife and spend some time. If I travel, one of my sons always travels with me just so we have some one-on-one time together.
Derek, thank you so much for your partnership with ABWE. Thank you for your leadership at Starkey Road and in the broader body of Christ, serving teammates all across the globe.
Well, I appreciate you and what you're doing here and your friendship. Thank you.
Thank you.